All right. Well, how's everyone doing today? All right. So some of you are doing okay. That's good. You know, it's interesting. We just sang that song about God's love. And, you know, I love that line that says that he goes after the one. He leaves the 99. And I just want to remind all of us that we are that one. We are that one that God goes after. And so I am so thankful to be with you this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Ben, and I'm a teaching pastor here. And, you know, I'm still getting used to Christ the Rock and still feel a little bit new. But I just want to tell you that I am so thankful for you. Like, you know, like you meet somebody, you don't know them too long, but you feel like you just want to be like, man, I love you, man. I love you. Like, I love you, Christ the Rock. I'm so thankful that we get to do this. Yeah, okay. Thanks. I really do. And I just love that we get to come together like this and worship together and study God's word together. And, you know, we started a series last week called Abide. And we wanted to do it at the beginning of the new year, very intentionally, because we believe that this can, what we're going to study actually has the power to transform our lives completely. And I hope your new year is off to a good start. This is that time of year where we think about resolutions or things that, you know, ways that we want to improve our lives. And, you know, I've even seen people put on social media that, hey, it's the year 2020 and I've got a 2020 vision for my life. And I'm like, you know what, that's a little cheesy, but I love that. Like, that is awesome. And I'm like, I like the, when else in history are we going to be able to, you know, make that joke? And so anyway, a lot of us are figuring out what it looks like to maybe improve our lives a little bit. And I think that reveals, like this time of year really reveals that a lot of us feel this tension within, that there is this version of ourselves that we are right now, and then there's this version of ourselves that we want to become. And in the middle of those two versions of ourselves, there's this gap. There's this gap in the middle of that. And last week, Joel, as he kicked off the series, he introduced this idea to us. Now, we riffed it a little bit off of John Ortberg, and so if you want to check that out, you can. He's got great thoughts on this. But the idea is that there's a version of ourselves that we want to be, and this gap in between where we are now and who we want to be. And so we got to figure out, what does it look like to bridge that gap? So we talked about three ways that a lot of us try to bridge that gap. Out of the three, the first one is called try harder. It's the try harder method. And a lot of us have done this before. Because see, as Americans, we pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, you know, with just raw grit. We roll up our sleeves and we get to work, right? We make it happen. But I don't know how many of you have ever had something in your life that you're like, I really got to change this about myself. Like, this is really messing up my life. And you just try really hard to change it. And you might be able to change some circumstantial things, maybe a couple habits sort of change. But you feel like at the end of the day, you didn't really change yourself. You just kind of changed the... And so we find that this method, this try harder method, in the long run, it doesn't really seem to have the dividends that we need it to have. And so then often we go to the second method to bridge that gap, and we call that the fake it method. Now, I think most of us are like, I mean, who's going to fake it to try to change themselves? That doesn't make any sense. But let me ask you this. How many of us have heard the phrase, just finish it for me, fake it till you make it? I didn't even have to pay those people. See, this is a really baked in idea in our culture, whether we realize it or not, that we actually believe that if we were to just pretend long enough, that sooner or later we'll figure it out. And you know, I mean, imagine doing that at work, that you're just like, I'm just gonna fake it till I make it. Well, they're gonna fire you when they find out you don't know how to do your job. And so we find out that this method, not only does it not work, but it actually sometimes can move us further away from this, like becoming our authentic selves, because we're just faking it. So we start to even lose a sense of who we actually are. And so when that's not working, we go to another method. And as Americans, we really love this method because we love microwaves, we love high-speed internet. And this method is called the silver bullets method. Now, we love this, and how many times have you heard, if you just take this one pill once a day, you're going to lose all the weight that you want to lose. Or if you just do this one diet, it's going to change your life forever. If you just go to this one seminar or attend this one program, and you know who really loves those things? The people who sell them. Yeah, they really love it because we all buy it, and we're all like, oh, this is it. Yeah, this is the thing. I finally found it. And we spend the money, and then, you know, a year later, we're like, well, darn it, I'm exactly the same as I was a year ago. And so we find out that the silver bullets method doesn't really, you know, it feels good in the short run. It feels like something's happening. But in the long run, it's not really transforming us into this person that we want to be. And so we can start to lose hope in these moments when we go, well, what? You know, I mean, this is that time of year that we're revealing that all of us want to change. It's that time of year where it becomes obvious. Everyone talks about it. Some people joke about it. Some people say, well, I don't make resolutions. I change habits, you know. But either way, a lot of us are thinking this time of year, what does it look like to become a different version of myself? And what's interesting is I think we actually know that this goes deeper than just changing a few of our behaviors. Because I think some of us know that deep down, something's wrong. Something just isn't right. Something's off. And I want to actually go all the way to the beginning when God created everything. And I want us to see something that he said when he did this. And so if you look at Genesis 1:31, in the first half of the verse, here's what it says. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now here's the thing. This was also after he had made us. So we're included in this assessment of everything that he had made. And he looked at us and he said, wow, you are very good. But we all know that something went wrong. Like things didn't work out too hot for Adam and Eve because they chose to go a different way than the way that God asked them to live. And so we all know that at a certain point, we went the wrong way. And actually, that's the origin of the gap. This gap that exists between the version of ourselves we are now and the version that we want to be began the moment that Adam and Eve said, God, we're going to go a different way than the way that you have for us. So not only do we have this version of ourselves that we so desperately long to be, it's actually the version of ourselves that God intends for us to be. And so deep down somewhere in ourselves, we know this. We know that there is something that is not quite right within us and within our lives. And so what bridges the gap? What actually is the thing that can create some kind of a bridge between who we are now and who we want to become? And last week, Joel told us the answer. It's God's grace. God's grace is the thing that bridges that gap for us, because here's the thing. It's by grace we have been saved, but it's also by grace that we're transformed. The grace of God transforms the people of God. And so we learned all this last week, and it's a really great teaching, so if you missed it, I encourage you to go check it out. But I wanted to recap some of that because it helps us to understand what we're going to dive back into the text that Joel brought us into, John 15. And as we do, we're going to go through a few verses, and we're going to go verse by verse. We're going to be stopping to make sure that we're on the same page, to make sure that we understand what it actually is that Jesus is telling us. Because I really believe that if we grab a hold of this, it's actually life-changing stuff. And so Jesus invites us into this. And so I'm actually going to go into the text. We're going to be in John 15. And we're going to start in verse 4. And here's what he starts with. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we'll pause right there. And here's the thing. We decided to call this series Abide. And in your Bibles, it might use a different word besides abide. It might use the word remain or something like that. But we chose to use the word abide because historically, that's a word that the church has used for a long time. And it actually does mean something really, really profound. But we called the series Abide. And Jesus says abide three times in just that first sentence of the passage. So here's the thing. If we don't understand what abide actually means, then like we're going to kind of miss the whole point of this sermon series. And so I thought, all right, we need to take a moment to break it down and find out what does this word actually mean. And so the word abide comes from a Greek word meno. Everyone say meno. Meno. All right, you're learning Greek today. And this is what meno means. Meno means to stay, remain, or to wait. So this is what meno means, to stay, remain, or wait. So this is what abide means. To stay, remain, or wait. So if we were to ask Jesus, what's the secret to the transformed life? He would say, just chill, brah. Like, you just gotta stay. You just gotta remain. Just wait, man. And like that's almost how it feels. When I first read that, I was like, oh, that almost sounds like unhelpful advice. Because see, as Americans, we're wired to do something. We're like, no, I'm going to try harder. I'll fake it till I make it, or I'll find some magic formula to fix it all, but I can't just sit here. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But Jesus is teaching us something that's counterintuitive to the culture that we live in. And so here's the thing. That word actually goes a lot deeper than just remaining or staying or waiting. It's really more of a word picture. And as you study what meno really means, I'll give you the opposite of what it means so that you can understand it better. The opposite of meno is to give up. The opposite of meno is to just let go and go, you know what, I'm done. It's over. And so what he's really encouraging us to do is, despite any circumstances that are happening, despite maybe even the temptation to let go, I need you to stay. I need you to remain. It's almost like someone who's in a tug of war. You know, it's like, well, I just need you to stay on the rope. Just hold on. Just keep going. So it's not a passive verb. It might feel that way to stay, remain, or wait, but it's in spite of everything else that is happening. That he's saying, this is what I'm inviting you into, is that you wouldn't give up on me because I'm not going to give up on you. And so this is really what Jesus is beginning to invite us into. And so he gives us this metaphor that we began last week. We're going to get back into it. And here's what he says in the next verse. So he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so this was the metaphor that we started last week. This is the metaphor Jesus chose to use. Now, to these disciples that he was teaching who grew up in Israel, this was a pretty common metaphor for them. Like they would have been like, oh yeah, because they live in a land of vineyards. They walk past vineyards all the time. But we don't maybe understand that as much. So I just want to show you, just in case you're wondering, this is what a branch that's connected to the vine looks like. Now just take a look at those grapes. Those are some good, nice grapes. Like, you could walk right up, pluck one of those off, and eat it, right? Those are some good grapes. Now I want to show you a branch that is disconnected from the vine. It's still hanging there, but it's actually become disconnected from the vine. And if you look at those grapes kind of look like they didn't quite make it to be raisins, but they're not quite grapes anymore. So they're somewhere in the middle, and I don't want to eat that. And even they're still hanging there. The animals don't even want to eat it. And so these are not good fruit. And so we can see this is the distinction that Jesus is trying to make. He's just trying to make it really clear. Look, if you're a branch that's connected to the vine, you're going to bear some really good fruit. But a branch that becomes disconnected at a certain point can't grow anything. But I thought, you know what? Most of us don't have a vineyard in our backyard. If you do, let me know, because that's pretty cool. But I don't think most of us do. And so I thought, what is something that's kind of a common part of most of our lives that I think could help us understand this even just a little bit more? And so I thought, you know what? Most of us have one of these, a cell phone. You know, these have become a pretty common part of our lives. And even if you don't have one, maybe you've used one. And so, but for me, this is an everyday part of my life. I have to use one at this point. And so I want to show you an image that it's just going to make you feel good. Let's bring that up. So that's just a nice phone, but here's the part that makes you feel good. Look in the upper right corner of that phone. Yeah, look at that. That's like a full battery going on right there. Like you could go hours with that thing, right? I mean, with a nice charged battery on your phone, you can do almost anything. You can record a video, like, you know, that moment when your kid does something cute or, you know, something cool's happening. You could watch a show. You could do all sorts of things. Send an email. You could have a conference call. You know, you could do all sorts of stuff. Now, let me show you another image that